Welcome to the Eye Candy Duo podcast with me, Naomi Williams, a 30-something parent of none, baffled by how much is undiscussed in the world of pregnancy and parenthood. I'll be asking the questions you want the answers to on this podcast, which is brought to you by Eye Candy World, makers of beautifully British pushchairs for parents across the globe. We're joined on the Eye Candy Duo podcast by Liam and Matt, two dads who are navigating their way through the grief of baby loss. After seeking out support to help manage their own grief, both Matt and Liam realised it wasn't something that existed specifically for dads. So they've teamed up to create the Dad Still Standing podcast, a platform which shows a bereaved father's perspective and aims to support as many dads and their families as possible. Hello, guys, and welcome to the Eye Candy Duo podcast. How are you both?
Hello, thank you. Yeah, very good, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
So, I mean, I've been listening to your podcast in the last over the last week or so, and I mean, my first question. I mean, you are friends, even though it is a bit of a love-hate relationship, as you both express, as you're like your first opening podcast, and obviously. Podcast co-hosts. I mean, you know, of course, sadly, you were brought together by your own shared sort of experience of loss and grief. But I mean, how did you guys meet?
So we met through, we both play for a bereaved dad's football team. And we both met through that. And I think it's probably fair to say we both got on quite well from the start. We're both sort of similar kind of personalities. We like a bit of banter. We don't really take ourselves too seriously. That's how we met. We didn't know each other previously, had no, you know, previous interactions with each other. We met through joining this bereaved dad's football club to help us with our grief, which is what the football club designs. And it kind of snowballed from there, really. I think it's probably the best way to describe it. Would you agree, Liam?
Matt was clearly desperate for friends. I was there as well. I felt like this was a good opportunity to branch out.
Just couldn't shake him. Do you know what I mean?
I know. Just like, please leave me alone, mate. I've got enough to deal with without you as well.
Persistent, yeah.
He is. But Matt's right. We came together through this football team and, you know, one day we were walking along and all of us boys have all said there's no support out there for dads. And I think Matt just turned to me one day and said, "Do you fancy doing a podcast?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'll have some of that."
So that's really interesting that, also, you know, you've got to pace these things out, Matt. When you meet new friends, you don't go just straight in, say, "Do you want to do a podcast together?" Just a little word for the wise.
Oh, he's full on. He hadn't even asked for my second name before he'd invited me over to do a podcast.
True.
But why podcast? Because, I mean, obviously, like you say, I mean, even from my own research, I mean, it's actually kind of shameful in a way where there's a lot to do with kind of men's voices across that kind of nursing the nursery area as a whole, parenting scope area, where it really lacks your voice. But I mean, why not, you know, why podcast? Did you think about writing about your own experiences or starting a blog or anything like that? What led you to go to a podcast?
I mean, to be honest, the Dad Still Standing, prior to meeting Liam, I had it set up as a social media page, as a Facebook page and an Instagram page. But I didn't really know what I was doing with it because I'm not very savvy with social media. And then we kind of thought about a podcast because it seems like the right kind of medium to reach men. Like when I was grieving, when I was going through the process after the losses, I didn't want to sit down and read a book. I didn't want to watch videos about how to grieve. I just needed something that I could put on in the background while I was doing something else. And I think the podcast just seemed like the right way to do that. It was something that you could dip into and dip out of, and you didn't need to sit down and commit to it fully. You can have your headphones in, you can listen to it while you're doing something else, while you're going for a bike ride, while you're walking the dog, while you're doing the washing up, while you're cutting the grass, anything, you know, washing the car, anything you can think of that you can sit your headphones in, you can listen to the podcast. So I think that's why we decided on a podcast. And the
other thing I'd add to that, Matt, is Matt and I have been to various different types of support following our loss with different charities. And I remember going to one of them, and the one of the best pieces of advice, or one of the best moments I had after losing our daughter, Paloma, was actually in a car park after the session with another dad. And I sort of turned to him and I said, "Are you going through this at home?" And he was like, "Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going through." And I was like, "Oh, finally, someone to talk to about this." And I think that connecting dads with each other, where you can understand what you're going through, and we know because dads have emailed us to say this, like, "Oh, that's exactly what I'm dealing with here," or "That's what I'm going through." And you don't quite get that from a blog. You don't quite get that from a video. But what the podcast enables us to do is just for Matt and I to have a conversation about it. And there's a lot of focus in the media at the moment about getting men talking about mental health, but it's actually really difficult to do that. Whereas if you listen to people having a conversation about it, it can be just as powerful. And we're enabling dads to think about their own emotions and their own feelings and the challenges that they're going through by seeing that solidarity around them. That actually, this guy's gone through the same thing I've gone through. And you just don't hear or see or read that anywhere. And that's what the podcast was there to do, allow dads to hear other dads struggling or who've struggled, but ultimately how they get out of it. And that's the way we design the podcast.
And you definitely pick up on that when you listen to it. It's actually, considering the context and the reason why you guys have brought this podcast together, it's actually very easy listening. It's actually really kind of quite comforting, your tone, the way you talk to each other as well is actually really nice. You know, no, it gives it a bit of break and a bit of humanity. And just, it's, you kind of laugh and then you go through moments where you're just really kind of listening and really taking it in.
Naomi, that is exactly the way we wanted it to be. And actually, I think the conversation where Matt and I had, where it was, "Do you want to do a podcast?" Yes. The next conversation was, "But we have to do it like it's actually us doing it. And it has to be a conversation." And we're talking about such a depressing, deeply sad, emotional subject that actually for a lot of dads, they don't want to hear more dads being depressed about losing a child. And we wanted to deliver it in a way where it was just two guys almost down the pub talking about the issues that they're going through. And I think that makes it more likely for dads to listen to it and also keep listening to it, because I mean, you've listened to it. It's just Matt and I chatting, and sometimes we'll take the piss out of each other. Sometimes we don't. You get that kind of emotional side. And actually during something quite emotional, you can have a bit of a joke, and it's that security between the two of us and that friendship and that safety net that makes the podcast work in that way. And we want the dads listening to it to feel like they're part of that as well. We offer them a safe place for them to hear about grief in a way that's normal for them to hear about everything else.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think we, like Liam said, we agreed we wanted it to be as lighthearted as we could make it for such a, you know, like Liam says, a tragic subject. But we want to normalise the conversation around men and around baby loss and around grieving and also around mental health. And get rid of that stigma attached to men and baby loss and mental health. And that's why I think, you know, we try to make it as personal as we can. And I think, again, that is why we probably came up with the podcast, because the podcast is more personal. And we just want to normalise the conversation. That's the aim.
Well, you guys have definitely done that. Sorry, Liam.
I'm also not absolutely convinced that Matt and I could hold down a conversation for an hour without one of us making a dig at each other.
100%, we could not do that.
I think even in this podcast, we got about 2 minutes in, and even to be fair, even I went in on Matt. So, you've just got one of those faces, Matt. What can I say?
Easy target. I'm used to it. Don't worry, I'm used to it.
But I do think you're completely right. I think the tone and the way you guys deliver the podcast, and which, by the way, to all our listeners, we will add all the links and the best ways to connect, you know, through, you know, whatever provider you prefer to listen to on podcasts, because it's got a really lovely flow. And like you say, pop it in, go for a walk with the dog if you're just in, you know, just so you can kind of see where you're at, which is great. And I think, again, actually, it's kind of interesting that you guys met through your dad's sort of football club, because, again, I suppose it's that community base where, you know, because everybody deals with discussing emotions. So I'm not kind of sort of genderizing this either, actually, but it does seem almost kind of perfect in a way where, at least, you know, how you guys met, you're playing football for what, like an hour or 90 minutes or whatever. And you don't even have to necessarily talk about it. I suppose it's just having that shared underlying experience that kind of bonds you.
And often it isn't something that we talk about all the time at the football. And that's one of the football teams called FC Villoma. And it's one of the things we don't say to dads who've lost children, well, you have to talk about it when you get here. But it's knowing that you could, and the person you were talking to would know how you feel. And that's one of the real benefits of the football team. And it was perfect because it brought two people who wanted to talk about their grief together.
I mean, when was it? Because I know you guys on your podcast, you're now starting to sort of share your own personal experiences with loss. But I mean, how, with your kind of, when you know, you're with Matt hounding you, Liam, for this friendship. When was the moment where you guys actually shared your experiences? Was that quite early on or?
No. So this is the really interesting part about it. We had gone quite far into the planning of the podcast before Matt and I realized we hadn't told each other our story. And we sort of had planned to do, I think that we'd initially said the first episode would be the first 6 weeks. How we thought we'd do the first 6 weeks after losing a child in one episode, Matt and I will never know. We then scaled that down to just being the first week. And I think we hadn't even left the hospital after the first episode. But what we realized was, in order to carry on talking about the stages that men and dads will go through, we kind of needed to know each other's story. But we felt like it would be a really, not wasted opportunity, but telling someone for the first time is really difficult, and hearing someone's story for the first time is really difficult. And so the proposal that Matt and I discussed was, why don't we record the first time we tell each other? And if it's really difficult or we don't like it, we don't have to put it out. But I think for people who hear us talking about how you get out of this grief or how you live with it, to then go back and hear us telling each other would be quite therapeutic, and I think would really be helpful for people. And so Matt and I did that. So we decided to put a few podcasts out so people knew the subject, because we don't want it to be about us, but we felt it was important that people at some point heard our story. And so we recorded both of them back to back. Well, it was a week each, because after the first one, it was quite, you know, it's a difficult subject to talk about, even with one of your closest friends. But last week, we put out Matt's story. So it's about an hour and a half, and it's Matt telling me for the first time, me hearing it for the first time, asking those questions that you would normally ask. And it's Matt telling me his story. And in the next episode of the podcast will be Matt hearing me tell the story about us losing our baby.
I mean, that's incredible. That, so that you actually recorded the first time you spoke to each other about it. I mean, was it, so for you, Matt, obviously, because it's up there right now, was it quite cathartic for you to go through that with Liam in that way? How did you feel?
Yeah, it was. It was quite emotional. It was very cathartic. But what sat in the back of my mind the whole time was it was really important that we did it and that our listeners heard it, because I don't think we would have that authenticity that we're trying to bring to the podcast and the subjects we're talking about without sharing our stories. And without, like I say, we're trying to normalise the conversation around men and baby loss. And I think if we were reluctant to share our story on the podcast, I don't think we'd have any right to say, well, we're trying to normalise the conversation around it. And I think Liam probably feels the same. I think we both felt it was really important that we shared telling our story for the first time to each other with the listeners. And it, the reason we've not shared our story beforehand is not because we haven't wanted to. It's because until now we haven't felt the need to. You know, and the football club, we're all dads. We all know why we're all at the football club. And we all know that we can rely on each other for support, but we don't feel the need to tell our stories to each other all the time. So I think for me, I think for us to be authentic as a baby lost podcast, we needed to share with the listeners our stories and share with each other our stories.
Absolutely. I mean, had you ever told your story like that in that way before doing the recording?
No, I'd never been sat down and told, tell me your story from start to finish. Tell me a story about all your losses and how you came to be where you are now. I discussed it in counselling with, when we had counselling through Petals, we discussed it with them. But we didn't, it wasn't in one hit at one time. That was over a course of, 12 sessions. So, like you've asked, it was very cathartic to do that. It was exhausting, but it was cathartic, and it was something I felt needed to be done.
But also, Naomi, for me, listening to it, I was listening to it for the first time, and again, I felt like I had a different role then. It's like, what are the right questions to ask? And I've been through a loss. And I'm still thinking, oh, what can I ask? What can't I ask? Oh, do I want to hear more about that? Am I going to upset Matt by asking these couple of questions? And I think I actually asked Matt, like, I'm not sure if I should ask this question. And we can take it out of the edit if you don't. But what is your view on this? And that's something that people will be dealing with when they're hearing someone tell them about their loss as well. So to capture the other side of that conversation. Because we talk about how important conversations are, but there's more than one person in a conversation. It's not just the person talking. Someone has to hear that as well and listen to it. And so we wanted to try and capture that real, genuine other side of the conversation.
I think that's actually very important as well, because you don't just say the podcast is like specifically geared for just dads. Obviously, it's the dad's perspective, but you kind of, it's very much there for family, friends, anybody else that is also kind of living through that moment and almost wanting advice, exactly like you just said, Liam, of like, is this the right question to ask? Like, I don't know, what can I say or what can't I say? You feel like you want to be able to provide the most support to anybody in your life that might be going through that. And I suppose it kind of breaks down that boundary as well of providing insight for those people as well.
On that, Naomi, like that's the, when Matt and I were talking about doing the podcast, it was like, this is going to be about dads. We're going to help dads. It's going to be focused on dads. And as we started to pull it together, what we realized very quickly was actually this is going to help a lot more people than dads. And the feedback we've had since it's gone on air, actually a lot of the times is from wives or girlfriends or partners saying, I didn't know that this is how my partner felt. I didn't know that this might be some of the stuff that they were going through. I've shown this to my partner as well, and they're listening. And actually, there's an audience that is much wider than dads. But as you rightly say, sometimes in order to help people, you need to go to the person who they want help from. And actually, if we're reaching wives or mums or dads of those who've lost as well, getting them to understand how they can support their partners is just as important as us doing it ourselves.
Because, I mean, with loss and grief, there isn't like a finish line. There isn't well done, you've hit the 6-month mark, now you're all back to normal. It's just something that you have to learn to live with and cope with. I mean, is there anything, this question for both of you, that anything that you've found along the way that's helped you? I do appreciate as well, just as I say this question, grief is very individual, very unique. So obviously you might have very different sort of comments on this, but is there any kind of things that you've really picked up along the way in terms of coping mechanisms?
Well, that is a really good question. For me, I think the main point is to be honest with yourself and how you're feeling, and recognize that you don't need to be in a set place at a set time, and don't compare your grief to other grief. So if you know, like me and Liam, we are in different stages of the grief process on different days at different times. So, you know, just recognize it is your grief process. However you are feeling in your moment of grief is however you are meant to be feeling. That is exactly the right way for you to be feeling. And it's important to recognize that. But at the same time, it's quite difficult to do. It's very, very difficult to do. It's not an easy thing to do. So I guess just try and be kind to yourself is probably the biggest takeaway. Be kind to yourself and don't put too much pressure on yourself when you're grieving, because grieving is hard. It's really, really hard. And like you say, there will be people out there that will say, like you said, you've been grieving for 6 months. Get over it now. Move on. No, what a load of BS. You're never going to be able to move on. You just move forward. I think if you won't move on, you'll just keep moving forward. And it's about finding your new normal, because following a baby loss, you will never be the same again. And this is something we mentioned on the podcast. You will never be the same again. But that doesn't have to be as negative as it sounds. You can still find your new normal, and you can still learn to be happy. It'll be a different kind of happy, but you can still be happy and be grieving. I think it's, you know, probably my, it's not a quick tip, it's quite long-winded, but, you know, that's probably my tip. Personally, I don't know about Liam, but he probably disagrees, because he's like that. He's like,
I disagree just for the sake of it. No, actually, everything Matt said there is true. You are in your own process. It's important to remember it's your journey. I think, so I won't repeat what Matt said. The thing I would add to it is also sometimes you're on that journey with other people. And so one of the things that I reflect on in the last, you know, 2 and a bit years since we lost our daughter is how key communication is between you and the rest of your family that's going for it. So I've got living daughters as well, and I've got a wife, and we all suffered through that, through the loss of our baby Paloma. But communication is so key, and grieving together is really important as well, and how you manage that, because I think one of the most difficult periods after loss was the challenges that my wife and I had, and how we maintained a relationship over that period, because the stats are there. A lot of relationships will end after losing a child. It's very difficult to maintain a relationship. There's emotional challenges, there's grieving challenges, there's blame. And so I think unlocking the understanding of what each other's going through is so important. And we did that through the counselling that we had with a charity called Petals, and it was couples bereavement counselling. And Daria understanding how I was grieving differently, and me understanding how she was grieving differently, enabled us to talk about it in a way we couldn't do before. And so communication is so important, and understanding is so important if you're able to really come through a grief together and to have a strong family afterwards, because ultimately that's what you want to happen afterwards. But you have to be able to talk to each other and listen to each other.
Yeah, I can imagine, especially on a relationship level, it would be quick to hit that wall and just become isolated. So your grief, it just becomes this locked in personal journey, which can sadly sometimes just lead you on very different paths, and can be really difficult to get back and find the way and the conversation of bringing that back together again. Yeah.
But also, Naomi, is that, you know, we've talked about, you know, we need to get men to open up a bit more. People just need to open up a bit more as well. And so if you don't feel like you can communicate to the person who you probably trust the most because they don't understand what you're saying, then those barriers will come up within your own home. And that's why it's so crucial, because actually the person you probably want to rely on the most at times will be the person that you don't think understands you at all. And that's why I think if you can unlock that, then you can help each other to get through it separately and also as a couple. And that also extends wider to like siblings and as well.
Because I have to say, me and my husband, he's the one with his heart on his shoulder. He wants to talk about it. He'll follow me around the house. This is just even over just like a small argument. And I'm, you know, again, not genderizing this, but I'm the other side. I'm literally like, leave me alone, leave me alone. But it's almost in a way, I suppose, as well, just even communicating that. Okay, I need 5 minutes. It's, you know, we still in our marriage have to kind of, we have moments like that, not to get angry or frustrated with each other, because you both are needing different things at that stage. So I suppose it's even just, you know, if you identify yourself as someone who is not great, not forthcoming with this kind of thing, just even just say, I'm not great with this. I need a minute, you know, and just explain that.
Absolutely.
And those differences between mums and dads is one of the episodes on the podcast. There's been conversation around my wife, Daria, and Matt's wife, Lauren, coming onto the podcast and us doing one as a four. The three of them think this is a genius idea. I think it's a recipe for disaster. But I think I'm going to be outvoted here. But we just, like, you know, is there, because it is difficult being in a relationship and moving through this, and people do grieve differently. And you're right, people just have different emotions at different times, and how you navigate that world is so hard.
Yeah. I mean, I think generally anyway, as a space, and what your podcast is achieving is just that, like you said, Matt, earlier, is that there is a distinct lack of just men's voices within this space, but also just discussing mental health, because also obviously all of this can be relevant and resonate to any man or any woman that just even struggles with dealing with any kind of point of trauma or anything like that, you know. And, you know, obviously you guys are kind of breaking the stigmas around that and trying to bring that out as well. I mean, do you hope that this will be an ongoing thing with the podcast, that you'll kind of go into more of that space?
I anticipate it probably will. Yeah, I don't know if Liam feels the same, but I anticipate there is so much subject matter out there around even baby loss and men grieving that I think this, you know, potentially could snowball. And, you know, again, when you go into the subject matter on men's mental health, then there's loads of stuff to talk about, isn't there? So I think this probably will maybe go forward. Whether me and Liam have fallen out by then or not, I don't know.
Matt and I are also going through couples counselling together.
Yeah, we are. Romance is on the rocks.
But Matt's point is really good. Like when we were planning the podcast, I mean, we've got like 17 episodes already planned out, and then you get people write in with different suggestions, and Matt and I going, oh, how did we not think of that? So, yeah. But you mentioned earlier, Naomi, this the different audiences. One of the episodes that we've recorded that's yet to go out is around returning to work and how difficult that is. And that's something that if you know someone in your team at work, or you're a line manager and you've got an employee who's lost a child, like, that episode is so interesting and helpful to listen to, because it will get you to understand what they're going through. And we've also got a gentleman on there who's a mental health first aider. And so we interview him around, you know, what are the tips for employees? What are the tips for employers returning back to work after losing a child? And there's nothing out there talks about this in this way.
That's hugely important, because like you say, I mean, you've got friends and family as a conversation for one. You trust, you support them. But then you take that subject where everybody at work, you know, you think you've got a relationship with colleagues, but they're colleagues. You know, there's going to be different parameters with people. And for them even to be like, what do you even say if you're passing in a corridor or making a tea of a morning? You know, you want to express that you're there for them, but then in the same vein, you're at work. Like, you don't know what's on or off limits. So that sounds fantastic. I mean, keep us all updated, because we'll make sure all of these go up, and we're putting all the podcasts over to YouTube as well at the moment. So we really want to make this as accessible and available as well. So Liam, you've both actually mentioned that you have older children as well that would have gone through this experience with you. I mean, how have you guys kind of helped obviously navigate that conversation with them, and how were they with the news?
Well, our stories again are different on this, aren't they, Matt? Do you know what? I don't think I did it very well. So I actually think if I look back over the last 2 years, I think I've been a pretty decent husband in helping my wife deal with the grief and myself, but I don't think I've been a good father. And I've got two children. Well, I've actually now got three, but I had two living children, both of them teenagers. And just didn't do a good job. So one of them lives with us and the other lives with my ex-partner. And one of them was very present. So Lily, our daughter, was very present. She was there when we found out that we were losing Paloma. She was there in the hospital when we lost her. So she's been present throughout it, and has really, her mental health has really suffered. And I don't think we've done a good enough job about dealing with it. And she saw Paloma because Daria, my wife, gave birth to her. So she saw and held her and read to her and was very present in the grieving process in the hospital after Daria, my wife, had delivered Paloma. But Madison didn't. And I think it's because I deliberately sheltered her from what I thought was something really difficult and kept her away from the hospital because I thought that was long-term in her best interests. And actually, I think that was a mistake because in some ways, I think she feels a disconnect from what the rest of us have dealt with. And actually, Matt's hearing this for the first time as well, to be honest. We haven't ever spoken about this. But I don't think I've managed their mental health at all. I don't think I handled the situation well. I think I let my family down. I think I let my girls down in that moment. And Matt and I are doing an episode on siblings, and I'll probably go into a bit more detail about it then. But, you know, I consider myself a pretty good husband and a good father, and I just didn't do a good job. And I think that their health has suffered and will continue to suffer because of the poor decisions that I made at that time. And one of the things I hope from the podcast is that I'm able to help dads and mums make better decisions than I made at the time. And their mental health has suffered because they've been grieving for a sister who died as well. Sorry, I didn't expect to answer that question.
No, I mean, but also, I mean, just to kind of almost repeat what you guys have said in the podcast, there isn't a rule book to this. You know, there isn't a guide. You weren't, you know, I can imagine however you navigate this for anybody listening, you're always going to look back and wish you'd done something differently because, I mean, how were you to know? I mean, Matt, what was your experience with this?
So I had a four-year-old when we lost Harry. Freddie was four. And Lily was a baby. So Lily didn't really not take part in it, but Lily wasn't, you know, old enough to understand what was going on. Freddie knew that mummy was pregnant. And we actually, that was one of the first things that I thought when we found out that we'd lost Harry was, how the bloody hell am I going to tell a four-year-old that mummy is no longer pregnant anymore? And we actually Googled it. And it might sound a little bit silly and a little bit, but that we thought, well, how do we do? Like, so we went on the internet, we Googled it. And what we actually decided was that we told him, we were very honest with him. And we have always been honest with both our children. They don't need to know all the ins and outs and all the, you know, the nitty gritty. They, you know, we were very honest with him. We said, look, the baby in mummy's tummy wasn't going to grow up to be big and strong like you and Lily. So it's gone straight up to heaven. We told him that and he just went, okay. We're very, very, like I say, we're very, very honest with him. he still talks about Harry and Daisy. He's got a teddy bear. We went to the Build-A-Bear workshop. He's got a Star Wars teddy bear called Harry the Teddy. And we still talk about Harry. We still talk about Daisy. We acknowledge that he's gone through the loss as well. I think also children are really resilient. I don't think as adults we always appreciate just how resilient they are. And Freddie's been very resilient, Fred. But I think because we acknowledge how he feels about it, we don't say we don't want to talk about it. Be quiet. We're not talking about it. It upsets mummy and daddy. Okay, it does upset us a little bit, but we realise that he needs to process it as well, and he processes it in a different way. One of the ways children will process things is they'll process things through play. He's had some sessions at school with, school counsellors to try and help him, and they say that's how children process things. They process things through play. But I think we've also done it as a family. And like just going back to what Liam said about he doesn't think, he made good decisions, et cetera, et cetera. He's, from what Liam told me, he's grieved as a family. So, I think you've done whatever was right at the time or whatever you thought was right at the time. And hindsight 2020 is a wonderful thing, but you've done what you needed to do at the time, and you've got through it and you're going through it. So all I will say is just don't be too hard on yourself about it, because you've got through it. You're still a family. You've got through it as a family, and you will continue to get through it as a family. So, yeah, that's the only nice thing I'm saying to you today, by the way. I'm not going to say anything else nice, but that's all I would say. So, yeah, but we Googled it is the short answer. We used our iPhones and we Googled how do you tell a child about baby loss. And we did exactly the same thing when we lost Daisy. And in fact, when we lost Daisy, when we got back from the hospital, Freddie actually asked us. He said, "Daddy, is the baby in mummy's tummy going to grow up to be big and strong like me?" And I actually said, "No." I said, "No, mate. She's not. She's gone up to heaven with baby Harry." And he just went, "Oh, okay." And I think it's obviously a difficult thing to do. But all I would say is just don't underestimate how resilient children can be. And don't try and anticipate their reaction, because I didn't expect him to react by saying, okay. I expected him to be upset, but at the same time, he was a four-year-old and, he was sort of five and a half. He didn't kind of understand it, but he still processed it, and he's still processing it. So I think he's, my take on it.
And you mentioned this is going to be, you're going to kind of focus on this area in one of your future podcasts, which is fantastic. Because like you say, it's, I mean, the fact that Matt, I mean, you did what actually most people would do, because I mean, even when you've got a cough, you Google it, that thing of like, I have no idea, Google it, but again, I suppose it shows there's so much like not in that area of like, God, has hopefully someone's written about this, or there's something out there on this, because you're kind of navigating it for the first time and sort of completely unaware. I mean, from the kind of the, obviously you've got 17, did you say 17 or 18 podcasts still to come?
It's 17 and growing, to be
brilliant
honest,
stuff.
Because we're getting emails from people saying, have you thought about covering this? And we both go, oh my God, no, we didn't. If someone emails us and says, can you talk about this subject, we will never say no. We've had people email us saying, can we come on and tell our story? And we kind of said, we don't want the podcast, because there's a load of people coming on every week and telling their stories all the time. We want it to cover subjects. Not people, if that makes sense.
It was all about that practical support when we were planning it. Like, what did Matt and I wish we knew when we lost our children? And then weaved within that is our own experiences. But also the idea was to get experts on. So the one around mental health, get an expert on that topic, or returning to work expert on that topic. There's charities out there that support people to tell their children, okay, well, let's get them on to talk about it. If there's ones around counselling and couples and relationships, oh, well, let's get someone on to talk about it. Because the only thing Matt and I are experts in is that we've lost the children. That's it. And football, because we're both incredible. But that they're the only things that we're exceptional in. And so let's bring in that expertise and get that practical support that we wish we both had. But it's not about, as Matt was saying, it's not about just hearing people tell their stories over and over again, because that only helps you so far. What a lot of people wanted, and certainly what we wanted, was answers to questions, or at least hearing other people talk about those questions.
And I suppose people, very much depending on their journey through this and the time frame they're at, you get the opportunity to ask questions they might not even have thought about yet, but they're kind of going, okay, yeah, that's a good pointer, and they're kind of just taking that on board.
And that's why we did it almost in a chronological order from the day you lose your child onwards. And that's why it was about, okay, at the hospital, returning home the first week, going back to work. We did it in an order of what a dad and extended family was likely to experience, so that if someone lost a child tomorrow, at least they'd go, okay, what's next week going to look like? Yeah, and I don't expect anybody to lose a child and instantly put the podcast on, but to know it's there. That these are the things that are going to come up over the next 6 months. These are things you're going to have to think about. We had someone email in about, are you going to cover funerals? And Matt and I hadn't thought of that, but that's a really important process. And Matt and I have had different experiences with that. And so you're kind of going, actually, yeah, that might be interesting to talk about. And, you know, if it will help someone, because we'll talk through the logistics of it and the emotions on the day and what you're likely to expect, it might just help someone be a little bit easier as they approach that.
Yeah. Mm.
And that goes back to that practical support in a timely fashion, which is so important.
So it's not just a complete unknown as they're going through it.
And I think, just to add a little bit onto what Liam says, if you are going through a baby loss, one of the first questions you will ask yourself at the time you realise you're going to, be part of that baby loss club, because it is a club, the first question you will ask yourself is, how the hell am I going to get through this? And hopefully the podcast will form part of that answer. That is the ultimate goal when me and Liam set up the podcast, is that when you ask that question, because 100% that will be the question that you ask yourself and you ask your partner, is how am I and how are we going to get through this? And hopefully the podcast, not the answer, but it's part of the answer. And it shows people and dads and, mums and uncles and aunts and anyone that's supporting, the people that are going through the baby loss, that you will get through this. You can get through this, and you will get through this.
That's fantastic. And I think that's, you're definitely carving out that on your podcast, and it's going to be great to see the sort of follow-up episodes go up as well. I mean, obviously, once you've done share your story as well, Liam, it'll be really interesting to see, like you say, those certain different topics and areas, because I mean, you mentioned it, like going back to work, like paternity leave, what happens there? Like, is it 2 weeks but you've got to get back? Yeah,
that's one of the most difficult things, is going back to work. Mm. And that's why any way to make that easier for an employer or you as the person who's lost, a practical support, which you can't find in a book and there aren't any blogs on it. So why don't Matt and I just sit down together and talk about it? Well, that sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah, and it's wonderful to hear that you're building such a community as well, and that they're actually feeding back suggestions and ideas. Like you say, you kind of go, oh yeah, that's... You know, it's not like you're forgetting. It's just, yeah, because there's so many moving parts to this whole process. To make sure you cover them all.
The saddest part about it, Naomi, is Matt and I obviously going through our journey of grief, but somebody's journey will start today, and somebody's journey will start tomorrow. And you know, one in four pregnancies end in some kind of loss. This is going to keep happening every day. And so almost like, it's horrible to say, but the podcast becomes relevant to somebody every day. And so they will experience different things to Matt and I. And it's okay, well, right, what can we talk about now then that might be helpful? And that's why, you know, as sad as it is, we know it's out there and it's helping people. And that's that kind of is the reason Matt and I do it and enjoy doing it. And we'll keep doing it until someone says, I think you guys have covered everything now.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's can't hide behind the fact that it's a reality, you know, and can't keep it silent because, you know, oh, people don't want to talk about this and all the rest of it. You know, it's, well, it's happening and people really need this support. Fantastic.
Yeah. And like Liam says, the podcast will go on until someone says, you guys have covered everything, or until I've knocked Liam out live on air.
Until Liam walks away from things. You.
Yeah.
That's why COVID's been a blessing, because we haven't been able to be in the same room together recording it.
We did one, didn't we? We did one.
It was good.
Yeah. It was good. I haven't knocked him out yet.
And the thing I say, Naomi, is actually on a personal level, it's actually really brought Matt and I closer together because we were just players on a football team. But actually to go into such depth with someone and to open up to someone about every aspect of losing a child, it is really emotional, and it is really, and there's a genuine like love and like brotherhood between Matt and I. And it's just a different side of the podcast that people will see. You'll hear that banter, you'll hear the jokes, you'll hear the emotion. You know, you'll hear us cry, but there's love there, and that's so important. And I think what it shows is, especially to the dads out there, if you open up to someone and you give everything to them and you tell them everything about how you're feeling, there's someone who's going to listen, and you'll find that support waiting for you. And we just hope that more dads will listen to this and open up, and you know, you can actually create something really beautiful out of something really sad. And that's the friendship that Matt and I have got, and the podcast that we're helping people with.
Completely. I think you're so right. I think with the right person and with that level of trust there, they can be, you know, a good friend can be such a guardian of your emotions and also really look after you and protect you throughout it all. I mean, I'm actually looking at Matt right now and I can't believe it's him for you, Liam, but, you know.
I don't like to use the word hero, but you know, someone's got to be a hero.
They don't all wear capes, do they, Matt?
No.
Oh, brilliant. Well, look, thank you so much, guys, for coming on. It's been a really good laugh, which I didn't think I would say at the start of this podcast. Yeah. It's been really brilliant talking to you both. And, you know, anyone that's listening, we'll make sure all the links and everything else like that too, so you can connect to Matt and Liam either on their podcast or on their Instagram page, the Dad Still Standing page, is all there. So yeah, thank you so much, guys. I've really, really enjoyed today, and thank you so much for your time.
No worries.
Thank you for having us.
To find out more information about the topics covered in today's podcast, head to the iCandy blog page on www.icandyworld.com/blog. You can also catch up on season 1, featuring thought-provoking and engaging interviews from a mix of industry leaders, experts, celebrity parents, and healthcare specialists, all via your preferred podcast provider. If you enjoyed today's episode, then don't forget to leave a review and hit like and subscribe to ensure you never miss an episode. iCandy is a proud supporter of Great Ormond Street Children's Hospital charity. Every day brings new challenges at GOSH, and this extraordinary hospital depends on charitable support to give seriously ill children the best chance to fulfil their potential. A donation from as little as £10 could pay for a genetic test that will help diagnose sick children, whilst only £50 could cover the cost of one night stay for parents in GOSH's family accommodation. Every little bit helps support both children and parents alike in making a challenging time as comfortable as possible. If you would like to make a donation, please head to discover.icandyworld.com/gosh.